This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Kev O'Neill, the Odds Breakers, will join us. We will go over the day in the NFL. We'll look ahead to the Monday night games, week number five, anything he likes there. And I will get to the baseball here at the end of this, and I'm going to try to do a baseball preview show, a special little Monday into Tuesday episode. I guess it would be a Tuesday episode Monday night. So I'll touch on the baseball playoffs quickly. We do have the scenario of the Mets and Braves doubleheader. I'll get to that in a minute, but I will start here with the NFL and just go game by game and give you a thought or two on each game. And I guess biggest game of the early slate, I could go Vikings-Packers. I'll go Broncos-Jets just because, hey, last time we talked about the Jets, it was that really good, impressive Thursday night win against New England. That did not stick because Rodgers looked bad. Rodgers looked old. He got hit in the middle of the game, and he just didn't look the same, wasn't moving around well. They were down a point. They get a missed field goal from Lutz, and the building's going crazy. They move the ball. It looks like they're going to be able to maneuver their way into field goal range, steal a game. Drive stalls out, and with like 50-something seconds left, Zuerlein misses a kick. Now, Knicks still would have had time to come down and win the game for Denver. Knicks did nothing all game, but boy, this Denver defense is pretty good. It's a solid roster. Again, Knicks, he runs around a little. He looked good last week. He has not done much in a lot of these games, but Denver, after 0-2, and we're all killing Peyton, we're all killing Knicks, you got to give him credit, even though Knicks wasn't good today. 2-2 here for a Denver team that maybe is a little bit underrated here, and it's just a bad loss for the Jets, and they are now 2-2. Against Minnesota in game at all summer, you figured, hey, they'd be favored in this game, a neutral field game. It counts as a road game for the Jets, which is a break, but it's a neutral field game Sunday in London against the Vikings. Now that's to avoid going 2-3. Not that 2-3 is a death sentence, but with Buffalo, and I'm taping this as Buffalo is about to play Baltimore here, you're going to have to chase Buffalo. And then you still get your games head-to-head with Buffalo, and it's a long season, but Rodgers did not look good. Bad loss. Salah is just not a good coach. After the game, he's blaming the rain. Well, it was raining, so it was hard for us to move the ball. We had a good week of prep, but, you know, the rain got to us. I mean, the coach is going to bite him at some point. I still think it's a talented team. I wouldn't panic, but a bad performance here from the Jets and a really bad loss as these big underdogs continue to perform well. I mean, we see this every week where these touchdown underdogs not just cover, but win the game. Vikings-Packers, 31-29 final. This got dicey, but the Vikings were up start to finish. They're up 28-0. They turned the ball over, let Green Bay back in the game. It was a 14-point game. Green Bay cut it to 6 with a touchdown and a 2, but Minnesota went down, got their field goal. A weird game where you figure a big lead, they just run out the clock. They were a little, and they were super aggressive where these teams traded possessions. Vikings got a couple turnovers, but Green Bay kept getting chance after chance. They get a touchdown to cut it to 2, couldn't get the onside kick, and Minnesota wins it. And now Minnesota is not just 4-0. They are an impressive 4-0. I know the defense second half of the game here wasn't impressive, but hey, you can't be perfect. They've only trailed for 3 minutes in the season, and Minnesota is now, I guess you have to put them at this point. I know it's hard to do with Darnold, and hey, maybe they're not great on defense, despite the fact that they played really well. You're going to have to put them in the list with, if not the A-list contenders right below, where, hey, you're 4-0, you're going to probably find your way to 10 or 11 wins as long as you just, you know, kind of play .500 the rest of the way. So Minnesota, really impressive. They get Addison back, and they set up a very interesting game Sunday morning in London against the Jets. Falcons-Saints, typical NFC South game, back and forth. Falcons led most of the way. They were up 6. Saints get stopped on downs, get it back, get a late touchdown to go up 1. But Cousins gets them just close enough to field goal range. I shouldn't even say field goal range because he got to the 40, the plus 40. And first down, second down, third down, they couldn't get anything. They were taking these long shots, Atlanta was. But Koo is a good kicker, one of the better kickers, and he hits it from 57, 58 with 1 or 2 seconds left. Saints get the kickoff and they start the lateral game, which, hey, the line was 2.5, so the Saints actually covered, and you're holding your breath if you have 2.5, you're holding your breath if you have teasers, but the laterals die. The guy with the ball just saying, you know what, the game's over. He gets tackled, which good for him. This stuff where they throw the ball around and just throw it back in their own end zone for touchdowns and safeties is just ridiculous. So Falcons get an important win. 1-3 would have been a bad start. Saints, after a 2-0 start, have cooled off now. 2-2, tough loss for New Orleans. Eagles now 2-2 after they get buried, absolutely buried by Tampa. This game was 14-0, 21-0 before you can blink. Good performance on defense last week. Did not stick. I thought this was an under. This was a bad call by me. The guests I've had on have been unbelievable in terms of their picks. Chris Massaro, undefeated on Friday. Kevin O'Neill's coming up. He gave out some incredible picks on Indiana, some college football stuff. So the guests have been just awesome here. The the host needs to pick it up a little bit too, with a little bit to keep up with the guests, because my picks have been shaky here. This was an under. This was never close to an under. As Tampa wins the game, good bounce back spot. Philly beat up in a bad loss. Not a bad loss, but just an ugly loss with Philly, where just leaves you scratching your head. Are they a real contender or not with their defensive issues? Hurts been turning the ball over a lot. So Philly 2-2, Tampa with a nice win. Bengals get off the schneid. They finally get a win. They control this game mostly start to finish. You still don't like the fact that they give up 24 points to the Panthers, but this is a win that, hey, at 0-4, they wouldn't have gotten off the mat. Their season would have been over. At 1-3, they get Baltimore next week. You could talk yourself into, hey, we get that game at home. We can get to 2-3. Maybe we have a season. We've dug out of these holes before. So a little sign of hope here for Cincy is they get a win. They win the game by 10. They cover. A team that is not out of the hole, the Jags, fall to 0-4. They led most of the game. Texans score. It was 2017 Jags with a minute or so left, less than a minute left. Texans score to go up 4 and take the lead, win the game. Jags start the lateral stuff themselves at the end of the game. And the ball ended up in the Jacksonville end zone. They could have called it a safety, but they gave them forward progress where it would have landed on 6. And this line closed 5.5, 6, depends on when you get it. Jacksonville did cover. Speaking of picks given out on here, Stuckey was on here Wednesday, like Jacksonville plus the 6.5, plus the 7. They do cover, but Jacksonville is done at 0-4. They're not getting off the mat. Who knows how long Peterson is for that job. Texans steal that game, and the Jags just have a habit of losing these games. Steelers-Colts. Steelers finally lose. They fall to 3-1. Colts, Richardson gets hurt. Colts were up big in this game. Had to hang on for dear life. It was 27-24 final. Steelers had the ball with a chance to get in a field goal range, and I honestly thought they would. They just kept coming back, creeping back, creeping back. Fields played pretty well, did stuff with his legs, threw the ball. Wasn't enough. The Steelers defense finally has a day where they give up some points. So nice win for Indy. That's now 2 in a row for them. Pittsburgh with a tough schedule coming up. So we'll see if Pittsburgh comes back down to earth, but I still like what I see from Fields, and it's a good defense. So if you're 3-1, you take it if you're Pittsburgh, even though you're a favorite in this game. Rams, Bears win. I didn't watch I watched some of this game. Ugly game. Bears were down 6-0, got a touchdown. Rams missed a field goal. It's kind of a game where the Bears were in control for the most of the second half, and the Rams were just playing keep up. Rams missed a 2-point conversion that would have tied it. Bears got another touchdown right back. So the Rams are just all sort of beat up on defense. They just have so many injuries where the Bears, every time they needed to answer, they did. They pick off Stafford to seal it. Bears cover. Bears win. Rams 1-3 with their one win, that miracle against the 49ers. I wonder, boy, I don't think they would trade Stafford, because trades like that don't usually happen in the NFL, but you wonder if the Rams just have enough injuries, have too many injuries to overcome here, and they are now 1-3 with a lot of their better players beat up. One of the big stories of the week as we move to the later games, the Commanders with a dominant 42-14 win over Arizona. And you heard Chris Passero on Friday say he likes Washington to win the division at 7-1. That might be a hell of a call, because with Philly looking bad, with Dallas beat up and not looking great, Washington was unbelievable in this game. Daniels was incredible. He's probably going to win Rookie of the Year as long as he stays healthy. Arizona went up 7-0, and Washington scored the next 27 points. This game was never in doubt. Arizona stinks on defense. A great win for Washington. If they can just get some sort of defense, they might be, I mean, look, it's early, but this could be, if they can sustain this offense, a 10-plus win team. And who knows? Who knows? The crazier things that happen. There's obviously some natural correlation, some natural comparisons with RG3. And remember, they won that division the year with RG3. So this was a really impressive couple of weeks, a really impressive 7-day stretch here for Washington as they win the game and maybe are a contender to win the division. Patriots, 49ers, don't have much to say. 49ers dominated, look like the 49ers. They scored early, they turned Brissett over, and they just kind of cruised to a victory they needed to avoid disaster and avoid a 1-3 start. They're now 2-2. I'm sure they'll be fine, although sounds like McCaffrey maybe middle of November, which is, I mean, look, this guy was questionable week one going up until like 90 minutes before the game. Now he's out until November, which, I mean, tells you he's never questionable. So, but look, 49ers, they've got enough talent where they're going to figure out a way. They've got a tough schedule and they've got injuries too, but this was one where they got a quarterback. They've got players all over the place. I would think the 49ers are going to find their way to their, 10, 11 wins here. Browns, Raiders. Browns are up 10-0, and then the Raiders come back, win the game. Browns got a tough one here because Browns got a touchdown to Cooper called back. Cooper had a bad game, but he should have had a touchdown. They called the holding. It was kind of a phantom call. Browns had a chance late, but they missed an extra point prior on a scoop and score, and then they get stopped in Raider territory. Good win for the Raiders, who improved to 2-2, and the Browns might be one of these teams at 1-3 with their quarterbacks. And Watson wasn't terrible today, but with their quarterback situation, I don't know that they get off the mat here. Cleveland to rally. Their defense is a little overrated too. Every time they need to stop, like the Raiders just move the ball more than you'd think against a Browns team that everyone thinks is great. It's really not. Chiefs, Chargers. Chiefs win the game. They were down 10-0. They come back, win 17-10. This line was anywhere between 6.5 and 8.5, depending on when you bet it. It lands right on 7. That's why you get the best of the number. It helps. But it was a costly win for the Chiefs because it looks like Rashee Rice might have torn his ACL. Remember, Pacheco, the running back, has a broken fibula. So Chiefs might need to make a trade here because I know they got a pretty good defense and they've got Mahomes. And you can kind of piece together the rest. They got Worthy, but Kelsey's older. And now with Pacheco and Rice hurt, they're going to need to make a trade because they do not have enough weapons as currently constructed. Now, it looked like that last year and they won the Super Bowl, but there's still enough time here where they would probably go out and whether it's would they trade Davante Adams in division, the Raiders? Probably not. But you got to figure out a way to get a receiver, get some skill because they don't have enough with all these injuries, but they do win. They are also 4-0 as the Chiefs just continue to figure it out on the fly. I mean, we could poke holes in them and say they haven't been that impressive. And they were down to the Chargers today, but they continue to just find ways to win and 4-0 on their way to another really good season, but they need to add some skill there. So Vikings 4-0, Chiefs 4-0, and it is scary for the rest of the league. Like Chiefs, they haven't looked good, but when you're 4-0 and you got Mahomes, you're on track here to put up another, 12, 13 plus win season, but they desperately, desperately need to make one addition here. Worthy's a good player. Worthy scored for them today, the rookie, who is just incredibly fast. But with all these injuries, I would think they would do something. Titans and Dolphins tomorrow. Seahawks and Lions, we get the doubleheader, which I just don't know why they don't spread it out more. I would lean towards the Lions. This line looks a little bit light. Granted, they're missing their center. Granted, Mike McDonald, the coach for the Seahawks, did a good job as the Ravens DC last year against Goff, completely undressed him. But I feel like Detroit is due for one of these games where they just click on offense, put everything together. You've seen it in fits and starts. You've seen it here and there, but you haven't seen it for a full, 60 minutes, just one of these 34-point explosions here. Seattle really hasn't played anybody. So there's some 3.5 out there, some 4. I will lay it with Detroit. Have no feel on the other game. I need a break from betting Will Levis. I don't really want to bet Tyler Huntley. Under 37 is a lower total. I'd probably go under if anything, but those are the Monday night games. Quickly on the baseball, we have the AL is set. The Tigers, which actually lost the last two, they've been red hot, but they clinched Friday night. They lost the last two games to the White Sox. So now instead of being the 4 or the 5, they are going to be the 6 seed. They're going to play in Houston. And Detroit is plus 110 for game one. And let's see, Houston is minus 130, Detroit plus 110. That's for game one. For the series to advance, Houston is minus 175. But you're going to get Scooble here in game one. And to get plus 150 on Detroit when you're getting Scooble in game one and you figure out a way, hey, maybe get a split after that if you can win the first one. I like Detroit plus 150. The other series is Baltimore versus Kansas City, Orioles, Royals. The winner of that series will play the Yankees. So the Yankees get the winner of O's, Royals. And the Guardians get the winner of Astros, Tigers. I would take the Royals at plus money. Now, the Orioles have played better this last week or two. Maybe they got their mojo back, but you're going to have Cole Reagans and Lugo, and you're giving me plus 135. I don't think that's a bad deal at all. That's for the series. Again, similar scenario where Baltimore is a slight favorite for game one, but a more sizable favorite. Minus 148 for game one, but minus 165 for the series. So I like both dogs. It does kind of feel fitting. Yeah, boy, it's been Yankees Orioles all summer. That's been a big theme. It does feel like they finally settled the score in the playoffs and Baltimore wins. So if I had to actually pick, I don't want to sit here and go back and forth, but the plus money on Kansas City is intriguing. I'll stick with it. I'll stick with Kansas City at plus money. I like both dogs at plus prices. Although, I like both dogs at plus prices. So I'll go with Royals and Tigers at the plus prices to advance. Should be a lot of fun. Again, if you're the Royals, you got Lugo, you got Reagans, you got to piece together the outs, but there's some pressure on Baltimore. Had a bad loss in the playoffs last year, got swept by Texas. This is everyone expected them to win the division. There's a little pressure for Baltimore to at least advance and then take their chances against the Yankees, which would be a lot of fun. The National League doubleheader Monday, Mets versus Braves. Here's the scenario. If the Mets get a split, The Mets are in, the Braves are in. So both teams, the Mets and the Braves, just need one win out of the two to get in. So if they both split, if they both get a game, they're both in. The only way Arizona gets in is if one of the teams gets swept. So if the Mets lose both, Mets are out, Braves are in, Arizona's in. Tough spot for Arizona because whoever wins game one is not going to, boy, they're just not going to play anybody game time. I know you got to throw out a major league lineup and anything can happen, but they're just not going to have any incentive to play anybody. I don't know that they'd pop champagne after game one because, I mean, you can't have the whole team drunk for the second game, but they will just basically rest their starters, I think, just throw out whoever is a pitcher, a B lineup, a B pitcher. And the Braves are going to save Sale for game two if they need him, which makes some sense because, hey, if you win game one, you can save Sale for the playoffs because they're going to have to play the Padres if they win. So you want to ideally save Sale for the Padres, but obviously if it comes to a game two, well, you got to get in the playoffs first. Then you'd have to burn Sale in the game against the Mets. So a lot of moving parts. It's fun. It's fascinating. I do think both teams win a game tomorrow, get a split. You know, you're going to hear plenty of, oh, well, there's going to be collusion. They're going to, you know, both teams will forfeit. They're not going to do that. Nobody's going to try to lose a game. It's baseball. These are, they were not going to try with their best lineup, but whoever's the nine guys on the field are going to try to hit and try to pitch, and they're not going to be motivated, but they're still going to take the field to give you a decent effort. There's not going to be this wink, wink of, hey, we win one, you win one, and we both get in. Although it will be a very disadvantageous for whoever wins game one to win game two. A sweep is very unlikely. In other words, again, it's baseball. It's anything can happen. Boy, everything the Mets have been through. Can you imagine a sweep to lose both of these to the Braves and get knocked out that way? A Braves team that would have nothing to play for in game two. That would be ultra, ultra painful, but I don't think it'll happen. I think they'll get their split. And I think the Mets are in, I think the Braves are in, and that would leave Arizona out. And that would be a bitter pill for Arizona to swallow. So a lot to do, a lot to get through. I know I threw a lot at you, but we will talk some more NFL with Kev O'Neill. That is next. This is the Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Been More podcast. You can catch him at the Odds Breakers. He is a regular guest, one of our favorites. First time, I think, since maybe the middle of summer. It is Kev O'Neill. Kev, what's up, man? How's your day going? Thanks for coming on.
My day's going well from perspective that my air conditioner works now. I got home from San Diego yesterday, and one of the sides of the house was completely hot. One side was cold, and that was fun. Luckily, I found a guy that was actually working on a Saturday night in Chandler that helped me out. But betting wise, it was just the one game that kind of threw me into the negative, and it would have been a really good day without it. The Jets, and that Zuerlein field goal that completely missed. One of those situations where it's like you feel like you look at your power ratings. The Jets probably have them winning by about 7 points or so. At least most people have Denver as one of the, I would say, lesser teams, at least in the NFL. And, you look at the spot with Sean Payton, and something I did think about, does he really want to get revenge for their revenge or their embarrassment that happened? Well, Denver played pretty solid, you know, around the whole ball. Their defense played better than it had been all year. Aaron Rodgers was getting no time to throw the ball. And, as soon as Zuerlein lined up, I'm like, that field goal's missed. There's no way he's making that. And he missed it. But at the same time, Denver missed a field goal too. So one of those things that you got to look at the NFL. And I think it's a lot more spot related than it's ever been, Will.
I was rooting for the Jets too. I have Jets futures. We can't complain too much because their guy missed one pretty much same distance. So you're like, oh man, if we just made ours, well, their guys missed ours. I mean, you get the ball back like that. You get a break and all you need is a few first downs, 30 yards to get it in really makeable range. And the crowd's going crazy. I felt like when they got the miss, they were going to score. That's a bad loss. Rodgers did not look good. He took a hit, middle of the game and just did not look good. But other than that, what was your biggest takeaway of the day so far?
You know, there's a couple takeaways. You know, it's so funny. People say don't overreact to the first couple games. Well, that works great if you're looking at the Patriots beating the Bengals, but does that work well with the Vikings? You know, it's like, oh, don't overreact. The Vikings blew away the Giants. No, the Vikings are pretty dang legit. Don't overreact with the Commanders. I mean, look what the Commanders did this week to the Cardinals. You know, I mean, and this was another spot, with Cliff Kingsbury that, you think about a couple times, you're like, well, maybe Cliff Kingsbury is going to get these guys on offense motivated a little bit more. But that whole team was motivated. Kingsbury, former coach of the Cardinals. So my biggest takeaway is that the NFL is really smashed together. It's really more condensed. And there's really not enough time in the game, all the time. if a team starts bad to cover these massive spreads. And that's why you see these spreads getting lower and lower and lower. I think, you know, you look 5 years ago, Will, the best team in the league, like the Niners, or one of the best two or three teams against one of the worst teams in the league would have been a 15, 16 point favorite. You know, they're sitting there as only a 10 point favorite in this game. So it's come together. These are all professionals. We got to get a little bit more creative than just metric, I think, when it comes to handicapping the NFL.
Hard league to beat, man. I mean, it's a really hard league to beat. It's if you really put the work into props, especially live props, like I've talked about on other shows, when the one team gets down big and they have a pretty good offense, a pretty good quarterback, the live over attempts, like those are ones that I don't know they're properly priced. But if you're just talking sides, and look, I've had good years and good runs, and you know, it's a hard league to beat. There's a lot of variance, and you know, the team that that looks really good one week doesn't always look good the next week. One team that has looked good every week, I got to ask you about him. The Vikings. Is this now? We know this is for real in terms of, hey, I mean, they'd have to fall on their face to miss the playoffs. Is this a team that, like, upper echelon, top three or four teams? That, can you make that leap, or where are you at here with Minnesota?
You know, it's hard to overreact on power rings, but week by week, they're certainly an above average team. And what they did to the Packers was legit. Now, did they let the Packers back in the game? They kind of did. They toyed around a little bit too much with that soft coverage. And you see teams do that a lot. You're supposed to technically do that, but I don't think you start doing that in the beginning of the second half. I think maybe in the fourth quarter is when you kind of let off the gas a little bit. They got themselves in a little bit of trouble, but that's just showing kind of a team that's not used to winning. And, you know, either way, they still got the job done. They turned on the gas, got into scoring position when they had to. They did score in the second half, so it's not like they missed it. I mean, they're legit. What's funny is about this Sam Darnold talk about all this, wow, Sam Darnold is going to start over McCarthy. Now, obviously, we know McCarthy got hurt, but that was a legit move, obviously. Sam Darnold's playing one wonderful football. And it also goes to show you, when you hire a coach like O'Connell, you got to give him a few years, you know, get his feet wet and get some of that old losing mentality out of the organization. And now look at this team. They're all motivated. They're in sync. They're not turning the ball over. Sam Darnold's looking great. They got some studs there at receiver. Jefferson is just an absolute beast and probably worth every dime he was paid. I have the Minnesota Vikings pretty high up in my ratings. And I can tell you where I have them right now.
Are these adjusted for this week or no?
Yeah, I already did that because as soon, before I got in there, I did my box scores. And there is quite a few, you know, misleading final scores. I mean, you're going to get that in the NFL all the time, especially when it comes to turnovers. But I have them as the eighth best team next to Green Bay, really, you know. And there's just a lot of middle, you know. I mean, San Fran, I guess I have as number one, Buffalo two, Baltimore three. And we're going to find out a little bit more about that tonight. That's going to be a wonderful game. But how do you not grade after 4 week sample size of Minnesota just blowing away these teams, including San Francisco? You have to make the move.
Yeah, and it's very unusual too for a team to be 4-0, and it's not like, you know, they're winning as favorite, 7-point favorite, 3-point. They've been underdogs in all these games. The one game they were favorite, it was like a point, and that was a back and forth line week one against the Giants, and they've all been pretty convincing. Even today, hey, they finally play a close game. Well, it's a close game, but they're up 28-0 at what, halftime, second half. So yeah, it's just wild. It really is. And look, Detroit hasn't been great here. So I guess we're at the point where, and this is going to be a fascinating game, and we'll lead into next week against the Jets, where now the Jets kind of need the game to avoid going under 500. Not that 2-3 is a death sentence, but Minnesota looking to go 5-0. Usually these London games are a little bit of a, you know, slog. It's it's Jacksonville versus some other team, and you can kind of half watch the game in the morning, but this is going to be a fascinating game next Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's what's funny is, like, this is the time I start digging into the next week games. But 6:30 a.m. on my time on the Pacific, so you got to be getting up nice and early for that. But Jets at Vikings, yeah, there's a few storylines behind it, I'm sure. You know, the Vikings obviously in the division that Rodgers was in. Rodgers, you would think, is more used to the Vikings, but O'Connell was still kind of young and new. I think Rodgers maybe was his last year or so, you know, when he kind of entered the Vikings. Maybe it's been 2 years, maybe it's been a little bit longer. But you know, right now the early look ahead is the Vikings -2.5, and it probably wasn't that when before today. And obviously the Jets with the big loss, it's a dangerous spot because it is obviously not in this country, and now the Vikings have to play the role of the favorite. You know, when that changes teams a lot, it's a big thing. It's always been a big thing in handicapping. You know, right now it looks like a pretty solid line to me. It almost looks like a sucker's line, you know. Ooh, Vikings -2.5, -120, get it before the three. Yeah, I'll be laying off that one for a while. I don't expect the Jets to get blown out. I do expect them to show up. They're probably pretty embarrassed. And, you know, betting on embarrassed teams has always been a profitable thing in not only the NFL, but also in college football. So Jets teaser leg looks like...
I was just going to say, go back to the well.
41.5 point total. That's pretty low. So yeah,
I would absolutely agree. How about the two Monday night games here? Dolphins -2.5 against the Titans. I don't love these two. I don't like the fact that there's two Monday night games. I wish they were spread out more. I just feel like Monday night's a night where, hey, Sunday we do the channel surfing. Monday you're supposed to just relax and put on the one game. I feel like I'm missing something. I don't want to flip back and forth, but that's a whole other thing. The early one is Dolphins -2.5 against the Titans, low total of 37. The other one, Lions up to -4 in some spots, total of 47 there. Either one of those interest you?
No, not from a side. You know, I would probably lean the Seahawks a little bit just because the Lions lost the best center in the league in Ragnow, and also they lost their safety Branch. He's not going to play. I mean, the center is much more important than people assume. He runs the line. You could see them obviously illegal procedures and things like that, just based upon the center, you know, not being there. So you
pressure
always
up the middle on Goff. Goff's not a guy that deals with pressure well. If you get up in his face, he's not going to scramble around a lot. So that's another aspect of it too.
Yeah, that's huge. Absolutely. And pressure up the middle is something you look for. But what I will say is that the Seattle Seahawks are banged up themselves, very banged up. Banged up on the defensive line and banged up in the linebacker. So I look at props, and I do this little segment on TikTok. Last year, I had a wonderful year in props. As a matter of fact, props probably saved my season last year. I went 27-11 in TikTok props last year, and I started out 0-2, and now I'm 6-2. So I'm really, you know, just focusing on props has really been the market that's been the most profitable for me, maybe because I focus so much on fantasy football too. But, you know, just you got to look at those mismatches and the fact that the Seattle Seahawks are injured from the linebackers as well as the defensive tackle. Byron Murphy's out, you know, Leonard Williams, defensive end, is out. And then Nwosa, their linebacker's out, you know, and Mafe. There's just so many guys that are banged up in Seattle. I looked at Gibbs for a rushing and receiving prop. I believe I took it over around 75. I think Gibbs is going to get a lot of carries, especially because they're not going to overuse Montgomery. It's not like he's going to be the back in case they're winning a ton of by a ton of points, you know, but he's going to get hits. And I also took his longest rush over 11.5 yards that I found at DraftKings today. I just think that when he gets the ball, people are expecting him to be more of the third down back, but that means they'll be a little bit lighter against the run. So I expect him to bust a run at least for 15 to 20 yards. So my favorite prop is his longest rush over 11.5 yards for tomorrow.
Anything else in terms of takeaways in terms of these teams? I mean, Jacksonville probably done here at 0-4. Cleveland with a bad loss to go to 1-3 after leading the Raiders. They got a bad call, a touchdown call back. Some of these things I see you tweeting all the time. The refs will just drive you nuts, especially when you got they're running around with your money, man. These refs will do some strange things. So bad loss for the Browns. Jags at 0-4. Bengals back on track. Any team that you want to either cross off or jump in on a future, take it whatever direction you want to go.
Well, I mean, what sucks about the Jags is this is an 0-4 team that's probably closer to average than a lot of other, but they're just so hard to bet on. They're so they just puke all over themselves constantly. And yes, the refs play a part. It's unpredictable. And that's why spreads are getting a lot closer too. The more variance you have on something, the closer it comes in. But I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are out. However, they're embarrassed and they're still going to really fight for a win because these guys are pros. You know, they're getting paid, they're embarrassed, and it's not like they're going to give up. This ain't the 13th week of the season, the 14th week. It's going to be hard. You might have to hold your nose a few times, but you're going to have to probably play on Jacksonville. What's the price on Jaden Daniels for rookie of the year?
Seeing -120. He's odds on.
Yeah, he's odds on right now. I mean, after today,
Neighbors is great, but my goodness, I mean, the tie goes to the quarterback and what he's doing. I mean, it's almost like the NL Rookie of the Year with Skeens and Merrill. If it continues down this path where Neighbors is catching 10 balls every time and Daniels is this good, Daniels will win a tie. I mean, we're far away from that, but I'm with you in terms of the thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I almost think it might be smarter to bet teams to miss the playoffs, you know, right now. And I'm not saying you look at the 0-4 teams. You look at the teams that are kind of like a, you know, maybe like a 3-1, but, you know, not necessarily great. Maybe Seattle Seahawks, you know, maybe they're a team that you can bet to miss the playoffs for some plus money now that they have the 3-0 start. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers? You know, we saw that back end of the schedule. Now we know that Cleveland is not as good as we thought they were going to be, right? But maybe they will get their two offensive tackles back. And maybe that team kind of just like they always do, wait towards the end of the year to become really good and really gelled on defense. You know, maybe betting Seattle to miss the playoffs, being that they're 3-0 right now, you can get that before their Monday night game tomorrow, might be a okay look.
Just quick thoughts next week, because we got a lot of games, some good games and some games that are pretty tightly lined here. You mentioned the Steelers -2 against Dallas. They've got a bunch of injuries. Dallas does, with Parsons and Lawrence. We'll see who plays and who doesn't. I believe that's the Sunday night game. And then, I mean, we're taping this right as about right before Ravens Bills about to start, but we do get Bengals Ravens next week. It's in Cincinnati. Ravens laying a point on the look ahead. And then we have Bills Texans, Bills in Houston, Bills laying a point on the look ahead. Any lean, any of those get you interested?
Yeah, I would love to know what happens with the Ravens Bills before, you know, looking at these lines. You know how it is with the NFL. These teams get a little bit more full of themselves. They kind of take off the next week. The teams that's more desperate and make it, I mean, I'll lean the Bengals just because the Bengals seem to have the Ravens number. My power ratings say it's probably a Ravens play, to be honest with you. But, you know, the Bengals, they need to stack up these wins. They had some tough losses yet. You still have Joe Burrow, who can be very clutch. And how is Ja'Marr Chase just balling out lately? The guy is unstoppable. And it's almost like he can't be tackled, especially when he's playing these bad teams, right? But, you know, I suppose I would lean the Bengals. And the Bills versus Texans, yeah, I mean, Bills blow out the Ravens. Let's look at the Texans being around a 2.5-point dog. I mean, the Bills lose to the Ravens, you're probably looking at close to pick them. I think, you know, you watched how the Vikings just dismantled the Texans, but the Texans couldn't even get back in the game. And that worries me a little bit about Stroud.
Yeah, good point.
If he's under pressure, I think he can be got to a little bit. He struggled for a while against Jacksonville. You know, he did. And that wasn't exactly an easy win for the Texans there. So I'll lean the Bills, because the Bills been there, done that. And I actually think the Bills are my second best team in the league, unless, you know, the Ravens tell me different tonight. So I'll lean the Bills.
How about college? Any thought on college that something people know people should be betting? And by the way, you deserve some kudos because you came on in the summer and one of your picks, I remember, Indiana, 1,000-1 for the Big Ten. This team's an over. They have been awesome. I'm actually excited to see when the odds pop up in terms of like, hey, could this be a playoff team? Because if they're like 11-1 and their one loss is at Ohio State, boy, how do you not put them in? They've been unbelievable. But any thought here in college coming off a great Georgia-Bama game going forward?
Well, thanks for reminding me of that, because I made so many college bets, I probably forgot that I took them as a pretty big shot here. I think I took them to make the playoffs at like 500-1.
Wow.
So that would be fun. That would be fun. I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, it's fun.
That's
watching.
It's not
them
that
ride.
Far-fetched. It's really not.
It's not 500-1 right now. At least we can say that with Kirk Cignetti just doing a fantastic job there. It's kind of a weird spot for them laying 13 at Northwestern. I'm not going to bet them this week. But, you know, obviously with the win total of 5.5 and they're already at 5-0, it's pretty nice to have that as well in my pocket. One of my biggest bets going on. So, you know, I mean, them and Rutgers. Rutgers is 4-0 right now. We bet them over 6 wins and they have the easiest schedule in the Big Ten. They like miss all 4 or 5 of the best teams in the Big Ten.
They
miss them all. So Rutgers is going to get about 6 or about 7 or 8 wins just based upon schedule this year. So, you know, for coming up for this weekend, it's such an interesting weekend. I made 3 plays today. I bet Georgia -23.5. I think this is just the ultimate bounce back spot. And Auburn, Peyton Thorne was so bad last week. I mean, they had the game won and he just throws a pick six. It's like you're up by 5. You're deep into the fourth quarter with like 4 minutes left. You throw a pick six.
Plus territory too, I think.
Yeah, I lost that bet. But at the same time, this is more of a bounce back spot for Georgia. You know, I know Auburn played them decently last year, but that was early in the year last year under different circumstances. Georgia is a much better team than we saw in the first half against Alabama. And they showed it in the second half. I mean, they kind of outplayed Alabama in the the second half, and then all of a sudden there are two plays, two touchdowns on each side. What a wonderful end of that game. Awesome. Because if you turn that game and went to bed, you sure missed a show last week. But I laid it with Georgia minus 23.5. But my favorite bet for the week so far is North Carolina Pittsburgh under 65. I'm not sure why this total is so high with two offenses that are very incompetent. Now, I know North Carolina ranks 11th in pace, but they're on their backup quarterback, and they couldn't even put over 20 points against Duke. You know, I don't care how fast you play. If you're that incompetent, you are not going to put up points on the board. And Pittsburgh, normally a defensive team. I know their offensive coordinator is trying to turn up the pace just a little bit, but, you know, they're not going to be able to do that for the whole game in this situation. They already rank in the middle of the pack in pace, and it's not like Pittsburgh, with their offensive success rate ranking 112th and their offensive passing success rate ranking 118th, they are not going to be able to put up a lot of points either. This is my favorite bet under 65. I don't think it gets even near with 60.
Who's your number one power-rated team in the country? And I don't know if you saw this, but I guess DraftKings moved Georgia to 9-1 momentarily after they lost to Bama, which is obviously a massive overreaction. I think you still get a plus 650, which I mean, I can't even argue with that number. I can't believe they would hang a 9-1. I wish I'd seen that. But that being said, who's your number one team?
I didn't see that either. So there you go. So I'm going to pull up my power ratings right now. And I already did my college ones this morning. I have Ohio State number one. I mean, they're just not letting anybody score points. Even Michigan State, which was Michigan State in a pretty good spot with a really good coach, you know, they couldn't do anything, you know. And I was just pretty impressed with the skill, especially Jeremiah Smith over there. And Abuka is just a fantastic receiver. They got two stud running backs at Ohio State, and their defense is playing this good. You have to have Ohio State number one. Georgia and Alabama are tied at number two, really. You know, I put Alabama two and Georgia three. Just because of the game, you just saw Alabama win, and they won it at the end. They were down at the end. They won it. So I'll give the nod to Alabama, but the power rating's the same. And I have Texas next, and I have Tennessee next. You know, Tennessee is really creeping, man, and they're a lot better with Nico Imailava, and he actually is a pretty decent Heisman bet right now too. I took him at 9-1 last week. So Nico Iamaleva is a fantastic Heisman B. And I still have Ole Miss up there at number six.
Bad loss.
I mean, what a bad loss, but we can't overreact to this stuff either. It's like they're still a very good team. I have Ole Miss, Miami, Penn State, Clemson, and Clemson's back in the top 10. Oregon, believe it or not, Notre Dame and Missouri are right there too for top 11 and 12. So right now, those are my rankings. USC's kind of creeping there. Utah fell a little bit. LSU's down a little bit. Kansas State went back up. But, you know, I mean, the truth is that the top four teams, I would say, let's just say Tennessee is in there. The top five teams, Ohio State, Georgia, Bama, Texas, and Tennessee are the really ones for real, in my opinion, to win the national title.
Kev, you're the best man. I appreciate the time here. Enjoy the game. Good luck this week. And good luck on those. I forgot you had Indiana 500. I knew you had them for the conference. I forgot that 500-1 because I was actually thinking this week, like I said, man, what is our number to make the playoffs? I'm curious what that'll be, if that's up and what that number is. But appreciate the time, man. Let everyone know where they can find you.
Yeah, check us out, the Odds Breakers. We'll have our misleading final scores podcast coming out on Tuesday morning. So we always do that. And we talk about betting spots too. I should have put some more of those revenge spots we saw in the NFL in our betting spots. Maybe I will, but, you know, letdown spots are big, you know, situational spots. We always talk about that. And then the more of the pick show is, you know, comes up a little bit later in the week, but check us out, the Odds Breakers. We always have free articles and great information. Thanks a lot, Will. Really appreciate coming on the show.
Yeah, we'll do it again soon. Appreciate it, man.
All right,
that'll do it. Thank you guys for listening. Again, I will try to get a playoff preview out for Tuesday, so look for that. Otherwise, rate, review, subscribe. Talk to you then.